Blog Talk Radio.
Every praise will lift your hand to the Lord. Every praise will come on, come on, come on. Lift your voice unto the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in. This is the first Monday of the month. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International. And this broadcast is being broadcast live from the Windy City. I always love to say Chicago, Illinois, where it's cold. It definitely felt cold today. I know that much. It's that wind. That's what we call the Windy City. But thank God for those of you that have tuned in. This is the first Monday of the month. We come on every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m. The broadcast that you're listening to is called Restorer of Paths to Dwell In. Again, where I am your host, Apostle Flowers, and my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. Thank God for her, my teammate in ministry, co-laborer. Amen. Thank God for her, my wife. I thank God for you, the listening audience, those that are tuning in by way of landline, cell phone, or internet. I would thank God for you, wherever you may be streaming this broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, and thank God for the faithful listeners that have been supporting every first and third Monday Restore Paths to Dwell In broadcast, just tuning in, listening in. You've been blessed. You've been encouraged. I want you to continue to be in high expectation. I always like to tell the people of God that to be in high expectation, be expecting, be believing, be looking for God to do something supernaturally for you, because we do serve a supernatural God. Our God is not dead. He is yet alive. Buddha is dead. All these other religions, which is false religions, that profess to lead to God, which there is only one way that leads to God. And that's St. John 14, chapter 6, verse says, so that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we have to come through Jesus in order to get to the Father. If we try to climb up any other kind of way, according to John, St. John 10, the Word of God said that we are thieves and we are robbers. Jesus said, all that have came before me with thieves and robbers, though they have tried to climb up another way. So that's what happened. If you tried to get to God another kind of way other than going through the Son, Jesus Christ, he said you are a thief and a robber. And you're not going to be able to get to the Father except through the Son. So that's just a losing cause, no matter how they may try to dress it up, no matter how New Age teachings may try to put it out there, no matter what new doctrine come out or whatever about that, you know, that we're gods and you are the higher power, and, you know, and your chakra and meditation and all this stuff is not going to get you to God except you go through Jesus Christ, because that's who God sent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which was Jesus Christ, gave him for us so that we can have the right to eternal life. That's through repentance. We must repent for our sins. We must repent for all that we have done, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we must repent. In order to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, we must repent and be born again. I know that's what Nicodemus said. Can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? Jesus said, no, this happened by the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. And, of course, you cannot understand the Word of God except you be born again. The natural mind cannot receive a revelation or anything concerning the Word of God or the Spirit of God, because that person is not born again. So it's going to take you being born again in order to be able to receive from God, because God is a Spirit. And the Word of God says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the things that we receive God spiritually. The natural mind cannot conceive or comprehend the things of the Spirit. It's enmity against God, as the Word of God says. So you can try to figure it out with all your knowledge, all your know-how. What you think that you know, it's nothing that's not going to get you anywhere. You know, again, the only way to be able to get understanding of the Word of God is through the Holy Spirit. Again, you must be born again. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a gift from God. And we thank God for the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's a gift as well. You know, that's a desired gift. If you desire to speak in, with the evidence of tongues, I recommend, if you don't, I recommend that you ask God that. Tongues is nothing to be fearful of. It's just a heavy language that you have with you and the Father, and it just enhances you even more spiritually. As a Jew, I believe, say, pray in your most holy faith. So you're praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in your most holy faith. When you pray in your heavenly language, you're praying in those tongues, then you are building up your spirit, man. You're stirring up, because they're gifts, and everything that lies on the inside of us is being stirred up. The Spirit of God is being stirred up. Your faith is being stirred up. when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. As the Word of God said, I believe in Romans 8 and 26, somewhere around in there, between 26 and 28 or something like that, we know not what we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. See, a lot of times we can pray with our knowledge, what we know from the mind, you know, what we're accustomed to, what we heard somebody else pray, or what we learned, and or we sometimes we may just pray out of our emotions or something because of something that may have happened, a traumatic experience may have happened throughout the day, we may have received some bad news or something. And so we tend to pray out of our emotions. We tend to pray out of what happened to us in the course of that day or what we may have been going through in our life. And so we tend to pray, oh, God, you know, help me, God, deliver me. God, I take authority over the enemy and so on. And then this may not what God may have want you to pray. God may want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. This is not the message on tonight, but I'm just going as the Holy Spirit is leading me right now. But the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit knows. He knows the heart and the mind and the perfect will of God, of the Father, of our Father. Know what we ought to pray when we don't know what we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit knows what we ought to pray. And so as we begin to pray in that heavenly language, and so the Holy Spirit began to move for us prophetically. The Holy Spirit began to stand in the gap for someone else that really needs the Lord, that's at a point about to take their life, in their life, or going through a situation. They need God to deliver them or to move for them. Because remember, our life is not our own. We're bought with a price, and we all are supposed to be intercessors and have that communication and pray and seek the face of the Lord. And that's the importance of us having that prayer relationship with the Lord, not religion. Not religion, remember that. Religion is just going to church and that's about it. Go to Sunday service, Sunday school, Sunday service, go to weekday service, and that's it. But go home and you don't have no prayer life. You don't even communicate with the Father. You don't even communicate with the Holy Spirit. There's no relationship there. It's just mechanics there. And so that's important. You got a lot of people that are walking in religion, sitting in church, but don't have a relationship with the Lord. And think that they're on their way to heaven, but is actually they're going to have a big surprise and just bust hell wide open. But I can say that because I was one like that, brought up in the church, and I was taught religion and not relationship. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's the very importance. Just because you go to church, show up at church on Sundays or some days, or you that, EME saint, I like to say, anytime, Mother's Day and Easter saint showing up, I was one of those, and thinking that was going to get me into heaven. That's not going to get you into heaven. It's having that relationship with the Lord Jesus, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, having a repentant heart and searching out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you know, walking uprightly before the Lord, the best that you know how, studying the Word of God. Being, you know, faithful in your local church or whatever, being fed, and so on and so on. As the Word of God studied, and Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, you to not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. But Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, I pray that you begin to move supernaturally in the midst of your people, God. For Lord, there is none, nobody, no one like you in the heavens or in the earth. Father, I declare and decree and open heavens, Lord, over this broadcast on tonight, in the name of you, where my voice may be heard, even on the other side of the globe, where it may be daytime or the other side of the world. Father, those that may be tuning in and listening, whether they're in Africa, whether they're in China, Lord, whatever part of the globe, Central America, Lord, in the name of Jesus, where my voice may be heard. Father, I pray that you move, Lord, throughout the airways, by the Holy Spirit, God, supernatural, Lord. Let your anointing be released, God, that breaks and destroys every yoke, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would activate and stir up, Lord, every ministry gift, Lord, that is listening, Lord, to this broadcast, Lord, every up-and-coming leader, Lord, every saint of God, Lord, those that are of the kingdom of God, Lord, I pray that you begin to deliver those that have been bound by religion, that have been bound by tradition, God, be broken over their lives, God, those that have been operating out of fear, that have been under the control of man, Lord, the rule of man, been ruled by the hand of man, Lord, in the church, God, in the name of Jesus, those that have been Lord, shepherds, pastors that have been lording over your people, beating them with the rod, God, and people have been the sheep have been under fear because of it, Lord. I pray that fear will be broken off of them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, that control be broken off of them, Lord, mind control, witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, be broken off of the lives of your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for our deliverance, Lord, even moving on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, I thank you for healing being released, Lord, manifestations of healing, Lord, miracles, signs, and wonders being released right now, Lord, notable miracles, creative miracles take place right now and tonight in the name of Jesus, manifestations of healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, healing all manners of sickness and diseases, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I command eyesight, Lord, to come clear right now, and those that have been struggling in their vision, in their eyesight, in the name of Jesus, vision problems, I command that the vision to clear up and for you to see right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that sight to come forth, Lord, those that have been blind or born blind, I command you to see right now, in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now with the name of Jesus. Those that have been having hearing problems right now, in the name of Jesus, I command healing right now. I command those deaf ears to pop open right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, those eardrums that have been damaged in the name, whether it was through water damage, whether it's through damage because they were sick, I command the eardrums to be restored right now in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of infirmity to loose your people right now. In the name of, where there's a sickness of infirmity, or someone may be going through an infirmity that is not a sickness, in the name of, that's been an oppressing spirit, I command it to loose them right now. In the name of Jesus, I command your people be delivered, healed, and set free and loose right now on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that you begin to release your warring angels, God, to war on behalf of the people of God. Release your ministering angels to minister unto the heirs of salvation in the name of Jesus on tonight, right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray and I ask that you would use me for your glory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let rhema flow on tonight, God. Let the prophetic flow on tonight, Lord. Your prophetic word, God, be released in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, your prophetic mantle be released, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, your apostolic be released on tonight. Mantle in the name of Jesus. Dimension be released in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for words of knowledge and words of wisdom being activated and released on tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for turning around circumstances and situations. Father, I pray that the eyes of your people, Lord God, understanding will be enlightened in the name of Jesus on tonight. We give you praise, Lord. I rebuke every deaf and dumb spirit in the realm of the spirit, Lord, that will keep your people from not receiving from you, Lord. Lord, deliver us from pride and stubbornness of righteousness, God, in the name of Jesus. Let us always have a teachable spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you praise, glory, and we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we ask that you would take precedence in our life, Lord, because, again, Lord, we can do nothing without you. We need you. We thank you for life. We have nothing to complain about because you have been good to us in the name of Jesus. And we have been murmuring or complaining because of our circumstance, because of our situation, because it seems like things are not working out the way we thought that they ought to work out. Or we have received a prophetic word in our life, and we're mad and we're upset and talking about that prophet lied and so on. And everything, and the fact is conditional. Prophecy is conditional. There's some things that we have to do in order for the prophetic word to come to pass. And Father, we have complained, we have murmured. Father, we repent right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We don't want anything to hinder, Lord, what you, Lord, are trying to do in our lives and bringing us into that place of promise, Lord. We don't want to abort that because of doubt, because of unbelief, Lord, because of, Lord, us not being shaky in our faith and in our walk with you, because of us looking in the natural realm In Jesus' mighty name, we release your fire right now. Release your fire. Release your fire. Your fire, your fire, Lord. On tonight, God, stir up passion, stir up desire for the things of you, for the things of the kingdom. Lord, stir up purpose and destiny on tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise, oh God. Thank God, amen and amen. I want to get right into the word of God. And, you know, I want to thank God for Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International. Thank God for her and the work that she's doing, and those that are her co-laborers, those that are working with her behind the scenes that are making this possible for you, the listeners, bringing anointed men and women of God on for you to hear that would feed you the word of God and speak the truth to you in love. And we thank God, I ask you to continue to pray for her and the work that, she's doing for the Lord. And we just pray God's blessings continually upon her and her staff in the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for her. Continue to enlarge her border and her territory, Lord. Continue to fulfill you every promise in her life and those that are been laboring with her. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen and amen. I know, saints of God, because of time, and I know time go by real fast when you're sharing the word of God. I want to ask you to just grab a pad, a pen. Get your Bible, open up the Word of God, your tablet, however you read the Word of God on tonight. Begin to open it up, and we're going to get right into the Word of God. So I want you to open your Bible to the book of Luke, the first chapter, the 20th verse, and I want to minister to you on tonight the appointed proper time and season on tonight. So open up your Bibles again to Luke, the first chapter, and the 20th verse. Amen. Bless the Lord. So I'm going to read to you first out of the King James Version, and it reads as following. It says this: "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Let me read that one more time. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." I want to give you a little bit of history in Luke, going back in Luke. And this is dealing with the priest. It's dealing with Zacharias, who fulfilled his duties, executed his office as a priest in the temple. And he kept the commandments of God and the ordinances of the Lord. He was blameless before the Lord, blameless. He was up in age, him and his wife. They were stricken in years. It felt like they were up in age. And his wife was at the point of childbearing. She could not bear any children. They didn't have any children at all. And so, but Zacharias, he executed his office effectively before the Lord, as the Lord had required him. And what he did was he kept the lamp lit in the temple of God. He kept the incense burnt in the temple of the Lord, and he performed his duties, and he did that, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. You know, people got out were praying, and then suddenly Zacharias had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him at his right side of the altar of the incense. And Zacharias, he saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. I don't know about you, if the angel of the Lord appeared. And I want to tell you now that the angels are still appearing unto the people of God, the saints of God. It's not just for the men and the women of God. And there may be some listening and saying, well, I don't know if that's true, if angels are still appearing today and so on. It's in the Word of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, evermore. I've seen and had experience with angels. My wife had seen and have experiences with angels, and God began to heighten it up even the more than 1 in 10 when I met my wife. See, every now and then I would see an angel in a vision. God was an angel to me in a vision, but I had never really experienced it with an open eye, seeing an angel too when I met my wife, and that's the type of anointing that my wife, you know, carry on her. And even when until I came into the atmosphere of my wife, and until I started seeing them for myself. And then when I came under the leadership of my leader, my overseer, Apostle Miller, and within the Apostleship Global Network, with those that's in the network as well, all those that come under our overseer, came up under him and serve under him, also have that experience, because he walks in that. He has supernatural encounters with the angels of the Lord and with God and so on and everything. So, but just being in that, it does matter, who you're around, amen, who you minister with, who you fellowship with, and everything. That's very important, especially those of you that are in ministry, and especially those of you that God has gifted, God is developing you in with the gifts of the Spirit or in the supernatural realm. You've been seeing some things you don't quite understand, or you are seeing some things, but you kind of scared or nervous to share that with anybody because, they in fear of what people may say or think about you, or the persecution that you're going to come under, or people may call you a witch or a warlock and so on. But don't get me wrong, there are some that are out there that are operating out of familiar spirits that are climbing up another way, that I like to say, instead of going through Jesus Christ, that are operating in divination and witchcraft and tarot card readings and all that stuff. I ain't talking about that realm, though. So those are demonic forces. Those are familiar spirits. That stuff is of the devil. That is what you call in Galatians the work of the flesh. But I'm talking about operating under the supernatural power of God. When the Lord told the disciples to go before he ascended on high, before he left, and he gave instructions unto the disciples to go into the upper room and tarry until you be endowed with power from on high. And so that's what they did. They obeyed the Lord, went into the upper room to tarry, wait upon the Lord until they was endowed with power from on high. And when they was endowed with power from on high, filled with the Holy Ghost and cloven tongues of fire dancing upon their hands, they began to go out and began to prophesy, Joel, and they were so filled with the Spirit, they began to speak with a perfect utterance and so on. So this is what takes place, the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. God began to move supernaturally with them and with their ministry to confirm his word with signs and wonders following. And again, this is not just for those that are called to the pulpit ministry, the fivefold ministry gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But these are for the believer. The word of God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And if you're born again believer, if you confess Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, you fill with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, this is for you too. This end time move that God is doing, he's empowering the saints of God. It's not just the believers. You're just seeing the believers operating out of the miracles of what God. It's not just the believers you see casting out devils and laying hands on the sick and the sick recovering. It's for you. It's our assignment to train you so that you can operate out of the power of God, so that you can see the face of the Lord. It's for you. It's not just for us. And so if you under some type of leadership, or if you somewhere where the where they're telling you, oh, no, you can't, it's only for me to do this. I'm the pastor. You can't be out there trying to minister to nobody or preach the word. Who gives you that authority to do so? You're not called to do that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. We all are called to be ministers of the gospel. What I'm saying is, you being seasoned, I'm not talking about you going out there being a novice, because you do have to be careful, especially when it comes to spiritual warfare and you're dealing with demonic forces. The word of God said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Whether you want to believe it or not, demons are real. You see people out here bound on drugs and killing and murdering, all this stuff. This is demonically influenced. These are demonic forces that are operating in the unseen realm that are influencing these people to do these things, to carry out these things. Even when we were living in sin, we were serving our father, the devil, living in sin. We were not born again. We were out there doing our fornication, fighting, roughhousing, brawling, all that kind of stuff. We were demonically influenced, that we were serving our father, the devil, being demonized. And you see these people out here, mental illness, that's a person that is demonized. Mental illness, that's demons. All these different things you see out here, sickness is not of God. That's a demonic spirit. Do you think that some people say, oh, it's God's will, for me to be afflicted, to go through in my body with this sickness? Sickness sickness is not of God. That is of the devil. But I'm here to tell you that deliverance is the children's bread. Deliverance for you on today. The healing is the children's bread. It's for you on today. Why would he say, by his stripes you are healed? Why would Jesus walk and heal, you know, the multitude and the one with the issue of blood and so on, if that was God's will for you to be sick? It's not God's will. Put it like this, it becomes a testimony that when God have delivered you and healed you and say, hey, you know, I experienced this, I went through this, I trust the God who leads. God, when the enemy attacked my body physically, I have believed the Lord for my healing regardless of what the doctor report has said and how the devil had tried to take me out of here prematurely on the deathbed. But God turned the thing around because I stood on the word of God and the saints of God was praying for me. I trusted the Lord. I stood upon his word. I spoke his word back unto him concerning my healing. And God, the miraculous took place in my life, and God raised me up off that sick bed where the enemy tried to take me out. God brought me back where I had left this life, left this world, had died. And God brought me back, spared me back, spared my life and brought me back. And now I'm out here running for the Lord. They are mere testimony. That's what the Lord wants you to, once he delivered you, healed you, and delivered you. It's your testimony for you to share, to let the people of God know that God is a healer, and to trust him, whether you're afflicted in your body, whatever you may be going through in your life, whatever opposition you may be facing, is for you. Amen. To stand upon the word of God. A lot of times we hinder ourselves because what we release and what we say out of our mouth. That's why I'm going back to the word of God, the scripture that I read to you concerning Zacharias, because he, in this, I want to get into this a little bit more. It says here, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. And so now you're going to find out, I just gave you a little bit of history concerning Zacharias. Whatever the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. He was troubled. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, to fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So evidently he must have been praying to God and believing God for him to have a son, for the angel of the Lord to appear unto him and told him to fear not, for the Lord heard his prayer, and that he shall bear a son. But this angel began to give him instruction concerning the son. Again, whenever God does something in your life, whenever you receive a prophetic word or anything like that, is God giving you instruction of the Lord to speak to you when you're praying, you're seeking the Lord, and the Lord answer you. You always bring forth instructions concerning the answers to prayer or what you ought to do. And so the angel of the Lord began to share this with Zacharias. He began to say unto him, he began to say, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And told him what to name him, and that's John the Baptist, which was Jesus' cousin, a forerunner for Jesus, the prophet of God. When he said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? He said, there's none greater like John, which was John the Baptist. John didn't perform no miracles or anything like that, but he was considered the greatest in the kingdom of God because of the work that he had did for the Lord. He was a forerunner for Jesus, and Jesus raising up forerunners in this end time, like John the Baptist, amen, who operated out of the spirit of Elijah, amen, because that spirit of Elijah is released in the earth, the mantle of Elijah, and those that are running, amen, with the spirit of Elijah in the earth realm, on fire for the Lord, and it's not fearful against the assignment of the enemy, amen, not fearful against that spirit of Jezebel, amen. So God wants you to continue to trust him and to run for him. But then, getting on verse 15, 14 says this, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, many. And so know this, even as you have trusted the Lord, some of you have been praying, you've been seeking the face of God, you've been standing on the promises of the Lord. God has heard your prayer. And it seemed like the fire has been turned up. It seemed like things are looking the opposite of what God has promised you. You've received prophetic words in your life that God was going to do this and do that. But it looked like it's the opposite taking place. And the enemy wants you to doubt. The enemy wants you to be not to trust of the Lord concerning that which he has promised you, what he has spoken in your life. I want to encourage you to hang in there, to continue to stand upon the word of God. Your breakthrough is there. You're just right at the door of God, manifesting and materializing his word in this natural realm to you of what he has promised you. You're right there. But I want to encourage you, don't allow the enemy to try to cause doubt to come in, and that's getting back to Luke 20. I love how the Amplified Version says it, because Zacharias was about to speak doubt out of his mouth, because Zacharias began to say this, and Zacharias said unto the angel, this in verse 18, he said, this, he said, whereby shall I know this? For I am old, an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And so first now he is believing, then next you know he's speaking doubt. Now it's hard for him to believe by speaking doubt out of his mouth. And verse 19 says this, and the angel answering and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So I'm bringing you up to speed here. So he had to cause a dumb spirit to come upon Zechariah's lip because he was about to abort what the Lord was about to do. First, you know, he praying, he believing God, the saints of God praying in agreement with him. Then now God is bringing confirmation to the prophetic word to him, confirmation to his prayers. Now he's doubting the confirmation. Now, you know, I guess he's been waiting for so long and everything, and so now God is confirming the word and bringing it to him. And now he's looking at the natural circumstance. He's looking at what's taking place in natural. Well, there's so many years you've been believing God, you've been waiting, you've been, you know, for many, many years for God to perform some things, to bring some prayers to pass in your life. You have quite not seen it yet. Many years have went by, and all of a sudden you start losing hope. You start just saying, start becoming numb to it. You took those prophecies, you took those prayers, just put them up on the shelf. And then now God began to start sending those around to confirm his words, sending the minister of the gospel, sending his prophetic people that don't even know you and that would come to you to confirm his word concerning you, concerning what he's going to do. But you have been in a place where, you know, I've heard that word, you know, years ago. God got that word years ago, and now, you know, I just don't, you know, believe it now. I don't know if God's going to do it. You know, it's looking the opposite, you know. God promised me this and promised me that, you know. He said that I was going to be in this position, but they just fired me. He said I was going to have this house. Now it's like I'm losing my place that I'm in. He said that that I was going to be married. It seemed like I'm not meeting the right one. I'm coming to meeting those that's trying to take advantage of me, and someone that's not the real one, the real husband or the real wife. So I'm just, you know, forget it. I'm just going to throw in. So what have to end up happening is sometimes you just have to shut your mouth, not open up your mouth, and not say nothing at all. Because, again, you don't want to abort what God is about to do. If God said that he's going to do something concerning in your life, you must stand on the word of God, whether it's healing, where you believe in him from healing, where you have been going through a condition in your body for so many years, so long, or whatever, whether you went and stood in the prayer line and they prayed for you and it seemed like nothing happened. But the word of God said they were healed as they went. And all you have to do is just thank God. Thank him in advance that it's already done, because it's already done in the spirit. And you're just waiting for the manifestation in the natural. So that the enemy, he would cause symptoms and different things to come up, you know, upon your body. And you look at that and be like, oh, well, you know, it's happening again. And I'm having this thing that looks like this cancer coming back again, or this condition of my body happening again. And instead of you just rebuking that thing, sending the word of God to what God said. You know what? I don't receive this. I'm not accepting. God said that I'm healed, and renouncing that. Even if you allow the enemy to cause you to entertain that thing, just renounce it, cast it down, and say, you know, and stand on what God said. He sent his word and healed them. You are the God that healeth thee. You know, speak God's word, what God have said, because God hears his word, and continue to do so, and watch it, because I know what God can do. I've seen what God have done, even in my own life, and even in my life. I've had moments in my life, and I can remember some years ago, my wife and I, you know, we went through some things. I mean, real, back in 2007, 2008, some things happened with me, you know, where I lost, you know, my job and so on and everything. There was a loss of income. We lost everything. We lost our house. We lost our vehicle, everything. And so we end up was going, you know, from place to place, staying here, staying there, all of a sudden a vagabond spirit came upon us, and you know, like we know, you know, we know what God has promised, and we stood on the word of God, and so we're like, we're not receiving this. We come against, you know, any vagabond spirit, because we're like, we're not going to be wandering from place to place, staying here, staying there, you know, with our children and everything, but through the midst of that, we were going, you know, we were going through, but yet we was trusting God and believing God, and we were still doing the work of the Lord. We were still serving in ministry, and we were during the time we were pastoring, and people didn't even know we were homeless. Homeless, staying in a shelter, and still going, encouraging people, still believing God that we're going through, and God was, you know, encouraging others. Still, Jim, our word of God, still standing on the word of God, and still doing the work of the Lord, regardless of what we were going through, because we were still trusting God, and yes, God was supplying our needs, yes, God was moving forward. But what I'm trying to say is, what you're trying to say, Apostle, what I'm saying is when God had blessed us to have a place, we're staying in an apartment, a three-bedroom apartment. And then so I began to get into a position where I was starting beginning to settle, being comfortable with that. But we have been receiving words that God said, a house, I'm going to bless you with a house. But my faith wasn't quite there because of all the different things that we had went through and so on. So my faith level was, you know, kind of, you know, low, and I couldn't really trust God for a house. I'm like, man, that's too big right now. I was looking at our income and so on, and I'm like, you know, I don't know. And my wife, she was just trusting that, she like, you know what, God, I said a house, and I believe God for a house, that God's going to bless us with a house and so on. But yet, doubt was trying to, you know, come out of my mouth, and I'm like trying to speak against it. No, you know, I'm looking at the circumstance. I'm looking at the natural. Said, no, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm looking at finding that's too, you know, it's going to be too much. It's going to require more money and this and that. You got to pay all the utilities. You got to pay water, garbage. You got to pay everything. You know, just the spirit of doubt was in operation. That was the enemy using me. But I thank God for my wife that stood and just believed God, and in a way, the first time she kind of like pushed it to the side at first, but she was yet waiting and believing God, and we met this person that kept coming to her. We kept, you know, meeting her off and on every now and then, and coming to my wife about a house. Are you ready for a house and everything? But it was me that kept saying, you know, no, I don't know, and this and that and so on and everything. And so finally, my wife was like, forget this. I'm not staying stuck like this. We need the space. We need the room. God said we're going to get a house. We can't look at our finance. We can't look at, you know, what we don't have. We have to trust and believe God. But I say, you right know what? You know what? I'm not going to open up my mouth. My faith may not be right there with yours or that right now. I say, you know, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to say anything. When I shut my mouth and I said, Lord, help me, I'm not going to say anything. And then that's when God moved. God blessed us with the house, amen, and God moved for us on our behalf and favored us and put us in a house, and then we got a word about another house, a bigger house, because we need more room. And I tell you this, how God operating, how God moving everything, and so I just, you know, stop thinking God for it, and sometimes I just learned to shut my mouth when the enemy tried to attack me or something like that, and I say, you know what, I'm just going to shut my mouth and know that God is going to move, and God has moved. So this is what God had. This is what the angel of the Lord had to do with Zacharias. He had to cause a dumb spirit to come upon him. The Amplified Version says like this: Now behold, you will be and will continue to be silent and not able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you have not believed what I told you. But my words are of a kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time. Ecclesiastic says it like this. The third chapter in the first verse says that to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. The definition says it like this. The Webster Marin Dictionary says it like this. Appointed means to name officially. The definition of proper, I want to break it down. It's a compound word, proper time, so I'm going to break proper and time down. It says this: strictly accurate, correct, time. Definition of time says this: the point or period when something occurs, occasion, an appointed, fixed, or customary moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end. And let's see, and the definition of season is this: at the right time. Put it all together, appointed, proper time, and season. We'll put all these definitions together to say to name officially, strictly, accurate, correct, the point or period when something occurs, occasion, and a appointed fix or customary moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end at the right time. Somebody ought to grab that. You ought to rejoice over that because this is a tailor word-made word for you, not just only corporately. This is not only a corporate word, but this is a personal word for you as well. Take it, grasp it for yourself, chew on it, eat it, swallow it down, see, lie on it. That means to meditate, ponder. That's the Hebrew word for meditate on, ponder, think about, dwell on. So do that because this is the season that you're in right now. This is the place that you're in. I'm ministering to you by the Spirit of God on tonight because the enemy has been trying to weary you. He's been trying to cause you to be weary and well-doing. He's been trying to attack your faith through natural circumstance, trying to get you to look at the natural things and trying to have those, the enemy, to use those to speak negative things out of their mouths unto you. To try to minister to you, you need to cut those negative words out. And, you know, you can't do this. You don't have the money to do this. You know, how are you going to do that? And so look at your circumstance. Look at your situation. That's negative report. Whose report shall you believe? Well, you shall believe the report of the Lord, which is the word of God. Believe what God has promised you. Believe what God has said to you. Begin to line yourself up. Again, prophecy is based off of conditions. It's based off of some things that you have to do. Sometimes we feel like when we get a prophetic word that automatic things ought to come, it's supposed to come to pass, supposed to happen. No, there's some things that you have to do in order, some requirements that you have to do in order for the word of God to come to pass. A lot of times, again, we get mad at the prophets. We get mad at those that are their false prophet because they said that such and such was going to happen and ain't nothing happening, this and that. And so, no, what are you doing? Are you lining up with the word? Are you still being a Hilliard? Are you still fault-finding? Are you being pessimist, negative, and judgmental, talking about people, saying, you know, negative stuff? Are you out here operating out of your flesh? Are you being consistent in your discipline, in your prayer life, and in your walk with the Lord, and in the Word of God? I'm not saying that you have to do works. I'm not saying you have to work your way, but I'm just saying, are you lining up with the Word? Like, I believe, who was that? Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the prophet, came to him. And the Lord, the word of the Lord came to him, spoke to Isaiah, saying, you know, that he shall, to get his house in order, for he shall surely die. And as he began to leave, as he delivered that word, he began to leave and walk out into the courtyard. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, laying in his bed, turned his face to the wall, began to cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, have I not served you? Have I not walked uprightly before you? Have I not done your will? And the word of the Lord, prophetic, came right back on, again on Isaiah, and God spoke to him and told him, turn back around and go back to Hezekiah and tell him that I'm going to add 15 more years unto his life. And he went back and he delivered that word, because you can turn the heart of God. You can't change the mind of God. I know the word of God said that God changed not. Yes, but you can in certain situations, certain circumstances, you can. Amen. And so because of his life, he prayed the prayer, God, have I not walked uprightly before you? Have I not done your will? So if you're in a place where you've been falling short, you've been missing the mark, you've been in your flesh, you've been allowing the enemy to take you there, just repent and turn away from that and just get your house in order. Start, you know, doing what you're supposed to do before the Lord and do that, because now there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So begin to do that. Begin to pursue the things of the Spirit. Now, don't let the enemy bring condemnation and guilt and shame. So just repent. God, forgive me that I allow and entertain this. I entertain negativity. I let the enemy minister to my mind. I allow doubt to come in and unbelief to come in. I renounce it. Forgive me. I denounce the works of the enemy. I repent, allowing for getting in my flesh and start arguing with the person, letting them take me there. And I started back cursing and all this stuff. This old man risen back up. So now I'm crucifying this flesh. I'm letting this old man die now and stay dead and buried. I mean, I know my time is rapidly winding up because I want to have enough time for the lines to be open. But again, grasp that, people, God, appointed time, proper time, and see. This is God brings his word to pass. The angel of the Lord told Zacharias that right there, that, you know what, I'm going to cause you, you're going to be silent until God's word be fulfilled, because his word shall be fulfilled. Like I said, sometimes you have to shut your mouth, be quiet, Don't say nothing. Do so. So that God's word will not be aborted. Hebrews 11:3 says like this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what are you framing your worlds with? You frame your worlds with negativity. Sometimes we frame our own worlds because we're speaking sickness on ourselves. We're speaking, like I say, aborting things in our own life. Defeat, yeah, we're speaking defeat in our life. Because of allowing it to come out of my mouth, well, you know, it always happened like this. Perfect example. But like this. You know, well, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. I knew I was going to lose my job. You know, you sitting there expecting it. You know, you looking around and waiting, you know, for that, because you see some things, you know, happening. The boss is passing, supervisor around, passing out pink slips and different working things slipping, and all of a sudden, here you are. Well, you know, I'm next. It's going to happen to me next. And sure enough, because you spoke it, now you got the pink slip. Well, I knew it was going to happen. I saw it happening. Whatever you saw happen, you should have prayed against. Maybe, you know, the Lord's having you to pray against or speak against it. But you agreed with it. You walked in agreement with it. So you framed your world with it. And a lot of times, you know, we get mad and we blame, you know, the church. We blame people for things that happen in our life. No, it's because of what we have spoken, what we have said out of our mind. The power of life and death comes from our tongue, what we speak, what we say. Even though you may not, maybe one say, oh, well, no, I don't believe that. If you say that your head is hurting long enough, and even though your head may not be hurting, I believe I'm going to get a headache because these children drive me up the wall. I'm going to get a headache, and you don't even have a headache. And then all of a sudden, you get a headache because you're speaking it. You're prophesying it. And so as God spoke the world into existence, the worlds were framed by the word of God, and God said, let there be light. There was light in the midst of chaos because the world was without form. It was void, and God framed the world. For example, you know how a construction worker digs, they dig the foundation. And so they say they're building a building or a house. And, of course, after they lay the foundation, all that, so now what you have to do, you have to frame it. You have to frame what the building is going to be like or the house is going to be like. You know, you have to put the frame, whether you're using beams, whether you're using 2x4s, you know, wood to frame, you know, what the house is going to be. And so look at that as, you know, what's your house going to be like? What's your life is going to be, you know, like, you know, as you're speaking, because you're speaking. You're speaking what's going to happen in your life. It is coming out. You're framing your life. You're framing your purpose, your destiny by what you speak. Well, they said I ain't going to be nothing. You know, I'm not going to be nobody. And so, you know, I'm not nobody. And then as you find yourself agreeing with that, you find yourself, they said I'm dumb and stupid. You find yourself agreeing with that spirit, walking with that. And then next thing you know, I can't do nothing right in song and everything. And so that's why you have to be careful. Speak the word of God. I'm talking to those that are of the kingdom of God. Don't allow the enemy to pull you into that. So frame your worlds with the word of God. Speak the word. Speak, my purpose, my destiny shall be fulfilled. What God has prophesied would have been spoken in my life, it shall come to pass. It shall be fulfilled. Many of you have heard me say this and share this before. My wife and I, when we get up and we pray, or anytime before we go out anywhere, I always in our prayers and in the prayer, I always like to decree, Lord, I decree that you're going to do exceedingly, Ephesians 3:20. I always like to decree that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which I can ask for, think on today, according to the power that worketh in us, in me, and on today. And so I decree. So you got to begin to decree with the word of God. Begin to decree what your day is going to be. Start out to be in the morning when the Lord wakes you up. So if you start out that way and be in high expectation, even things may not be looking too good right now. But as you begin to decree, amen, what the word says and agree with God, what God has already said concerning his word that he's going to bring to pass and be in expectation of, you may be going through financially. Begin to decree. I decree checks in the mail that I don't have to pay back. I decree check that I can cash, because, you know, you got to be clear when you decree things. So I'm speaking from experience. I was declaring checks in the mail. I wouldn't be clear, was not clear concerning. So I was getting checks, and I couldn't even do nothing with it. It was like, you know, some kind of credit for something in a store or coupon for something. Like, I don't, you know, want this. I'm talking about some real money. So I began to be specific with my decrees. So I begin to decree, you know, because I didn't want to get no check in the mail where they send you a check in the mail and it's a loan check and you have to pay it back. No, so I had to be clear. I decree checks in the mail that I don't have, that I can cash and don't have to pay back. I decree rebate checks that I can cash. Amen. I decree money. I decree deeds to property and land and cars being laid in my hand, paid for. I decree, so this is how you got to begin to do. I decree bills, my bills being paid. I owe no man nothing but to love him. These are just some examples that I'm giving you, the people of God. Begin to decree the word of God. Begin to speak and prophesy what says. So you have to do that. A lot of times you don't hear about it. You have some apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, our teaching, decreeing the you know, the word of God and so on. And sometimes a lot of times we got to be reminded of it as people of God. We got to remember sometimes our faith can be so low in what we're going through. We've been so beat down because of the cares of this life. We're allowed to creep in on us that we get to a point that, well, you know, I don't believe that God may, you know, hear me because I've been going through so much. So much has been happening in my life. So God, you really know. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages, even until the end of the world. Jesus said, I'm with you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I send a comforter to you. That's why he told the disciples, that I want to stay with you. But it is expedient that I must go, you know, so that I can send the comforter. See, much can be done because God is present, omnipotent. I'm not, you know, present everywhere at the same time. So Jesus being incarnated, God in the flesh, walking among the disciples, you know, he was limited in what he can do, because he was in this fleshly body. And so that's why he said, I'm on assignment. I have to come and do what my Father sent me here to do, but I must go, but I'm going to send you a comfort, the Holy Spirit. And so when he released the Holy Spirit, amen, God can operate and do more, especially those that are filled with the Holy Spirit and those that are sensitive to the presence of the Lord. And so what are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this, man, activate the Holy Spirit on the inside. We begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, try to get out of praying in your English language with your own understanding. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is how the realm of the Spirit is opened up. This is how God begin to enlighten your understanding. This is how God begin to cause prophetic revelation and prophetic insights and visions, open our visions, and things begin to take place. This is how God begin to minister. And through the midst of you praying in the Holy Ghost, then have that moment where you're silent before the Lord for half an hour, whatever, just quiet, prostrate before the Lord and silent. To hear from God is not just a monologue relationship, but it's a dialogue. Amen. Well, you be quiet and you allow the Lord to speak to you. And then this is how God begin to, the Holy Spirit begin to answer you, begin to answer your prayer. The Holy Spirit begin to lead and guide you. And then the Holy Spirit may say, get up and go here. You don't even know why, but don't try to figure out why, but just get up and go. And then before you know, God's leading you to your blessing. God's leading you to your answer. God's leading you to that money that you've been needing. God's leading you to that job that you've been needing. God is just you being led by the Spirit of God. This is how God leads us to those are the sons of God, amen, because we have the Spirit of God. He give us power, amen. So getting back to the Word of God, so what are you framing your words with? So again, speak the Word of God. But I know a lot of times there can be bloodline generational curses in operation. A familiar spirit passed down through the bloodline that had to be broken. I know Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse. But I know, yes, he did. But at times there's still a residue, those familiar spirits, those spirits that like to come and visit through the generation, want to bring poverty, want to bring sickness, want to bring divorce, want to bring high blood pressure, want to bring witchcraft, because you may have had somebody in your family line, your ancestors, whatever, who practiced voodoo and witchcraft and all that, aunts or uncles or whatever, that passed down through the generation, and you may have, before you gave your life to the Lord, because that was in your family, you know, they taught you that, and that, because that was that spirit traveling down the generation, and God had, you know, delivered you from. But sometimes there's residue still from that needs to be broken. And then sometimes God can bring us out of a thing because we have not renounced it, because we may have been tied in an occult masonry, Freemasonry. Yes, I'm told you have some pastors that are practicing Freemasonry. Some of the Masonic, that emblem that you see on the back of a car, a vehicle, a truck, or whatever, that have a compass and a square and a G in the middle. And I'm saying it because I was involved in it years ago, back when I was a young adult, and I didn't know no better. And because I was in search of God, a higher power in God, some spiritual. And I want to say this: if we were created to worship God, and if you don't worship God, you're going to worship some, because God has put that worship on the inside of us to worship him. But because of our ignorance, because of our rebellion and disobedience toward the Lord, we end up worshiping our cars, we end up worshiping our jobs, we end up worshiping our children, we end up worshiping things, material things, we end up worshiping other gods, the religions, idols, idolatry, and so on, worshiping statues, and so on. How are you going to worship something that was created by man, made by man's hands, and you calling it God and worshiping God? Saying that's God. If you see how idiotic that is, and just really just look at that and say, I'm worshiping something that was created by the hands of man. Now, how foolish that is. And that's because, the enemy have us walking in ignorance and in darkness and so on. Having our mind blinded. And so that's why God brings forth deliverance to set the captives. That's why the deliverance ministry is so much needed. It's so much needed. Deliverance ministry is so much needed. So I want to encourage you, pastors, please do not turn away from deliverance. Don't walk away. Do not cast deliverance out of your ministry. And I'm saying, for example, one leader that I had set up under, years ago, for protection's sake, I'm not going to say his name, but we were doing deliverance ministry once a week. I forgot what day it was. And so his mother got offended because one of the ones that was orchestrating the deliverance, we was having corporate deliverance, and then there were some, he was, going to one-on-one praying and calling out certain things and doing a time of deliverance, and he was doing deliverance ministry. And so this person that happened to be ministering to the pastor's mother, and he was calling some things out, which was true. And she got offended by it and went to the pastor about it, which was her son. And so in turn, the pastor ended up shutting down the deliverance ministry because of it. And why did he do that? He compromised and shut it down because of, his mother and everything. And when he did that, the ministry really began to start going down because of it. And so I want to come. The things that I share with you, people of God, is not some that I've heard from somebody else. Things that you hear me share with you is what I've experienced, what I've been through for myself. I'm not telling you something that somebody else told me or I heard somebody preach. No, I'm telling you something that I've experienced and I've seen for myself. Things that you hear from me is things that I experienced personally, things that I experienced for myself. And so, but because that's why I'm a big advocate of the deliverance ministry, of prophetic ministry. I believe in the supernatural move of God. God is not dead. God is still delivering his people. God is still healing his people. God is still performing miracles today for his people. All you have to do is believe. And you have saints of God. The leaders in church don't even believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. They believe in the word. God is not doing that today. Oh, that was back when the apostles. That was back in Jesus' days. That's not how miracles are not for today. That's a lie from the enemy. That's because they don't believe. And so I want to if you somewhere like that, in a place like that, get up and get out of there. Yes, I'm saying it. Get up and get out of there. And go somewhere where somebody, where that leader believes. Because we definitely need it in the times that we are in. I know that we have entered into the last days when Jesus came on the scene. That became the last days when John the Baptist said, lo and behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. That was when the last days kicked in, and when Jesus came on the scene, became the last days. And so we're just, we're just coming more closer and closer, again, as it comes back to the, return of the Lord. But so what are you doing in this time right now while you're here? Are you being passive? Are you being disobedient? Are you not doing what God would have you to do? Are you going back because of what somebody said that you cannot do? And you know the word of God. You've been faithful, but because you've been held back, you're not doing it because you've been under such control and bunge and witchcraft in the church, which is not of God. I'm not talking about rebel and so on, but I'm talking about leaders that that is working with the sheep leaders that are releasing the flock, leaders that are not intimidated by the lay members, leaders that are doing what the Word of God says, sending out, not intimidated or afraid, actually doing the book of Acts. Acts, what is Acts? You're carrying out, you're being active in the work of the Lord. You're doing something. So are you being activated, doing something? And so it's time for us to do something. That's the purpose. I guess I can sound like a broken record. Ephesians 4:11-12. That's why he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So you can do the work of the ministry. And so you're part of that movement. You may not, like I said, you may not be called to a pulpit ministry, but you're part of that end time movement. You're part of this movement that God is doing in these last days. Yes, God is raising you up, lay member. God is raising you up to move in signs and wonders. That's what it's all about. When you go into the workplace, God's going to use you to give a prophetic word, an accurate word to that person, and God's going to bring the path. Or somebody may be sick in your neighborhood that you may know. God's going to use you to lay hands on them and speak healing over their life, and they shall recover, as the Word of God says. God's going to use you to perform miracles that person may be that you may encounter, that may be battling, that may be demonized. Some God's going to use you to cast those devils, those demons, out of them. That's the purpose. You come to church, that's the training ground. Now you just come in there and just sitting there and not doing nothing, but you come in there being trained so that you can go out and do the work of the Lord and be activated, because God needs every available hand, every person that would say yes to him in the Lord, in the kingdom, that would, you know, do his will, as Isaiah said, yes, Lord, send me. I will go to have a yes on the inside of them. But getting back to the Word of God, I thank God again, Brother, the founder allowed me a little bit more time. So, amen. I pray that you're being blessed with what you're hearing on tonight. I have a few more, and then I'm, you know, begin to wrap it up. But I want to share some things with you. Again, you know, the residue, getting back to that, I don't want to get away from that. But sometimes, again, like I said, you have to break some things, generational things. Like you can come into the things of God and not have renounced some things or denounce some things like the occult, where you have been in the cult, witch, warlock, involved in occultic worship, or some, organization where you have to make a covenant with fraternity, whether it was a college fraternity or some kind of fraternity. I'm here to disappoint you. I'm sorry. I know you're probably going to get upset and mad with me for coming against the Alpha, Sigma, Alpha, Omega, Phi, Mega, Gamma, Phi, Gamma, or whatever. I'm sorry to tell you. You know, I know they say, oh, well, they do good deeds and this and that, help out the community and all that. That's just the cover. But you have made covenant with God. Is not secret. He does not do things in secret. He don't make no secret covenant. He said, what I share with you in secret, shout it out on the rooftop, loud, open. It's just like saying, oh, I want you to die for you. When you get saved, you're not supposed to tell anybody because it's a secret. You made a covenant with me. Don't tell anybody. You know, don't tell anybody how they can get saved. Don't tell anybody about my promises. Don't tell anybody about how they can be healed. Don't tell anybody about how they can be blessed. Don't tell anybody about, you know, eternal life. It's just like saying that. And so the enemy, he operates out of darkness, so he don't want to tell you that. So when you come into the, you know, things of God, some people are still go to their meetings, their fraternity meetings, and still involved in that. Some people still involved with these lodges, the Moose Lodge and that lodge. And I'm sorry, I know that I'm probably stepping on some toes, but like I said, I was involved in it myself, starting out as a young person, a young adult, and everything, until God opened my eyes to it. That the more and more, when I was in the Masons, I was in the one that was, they call the four letter. The four letter was ancient, free, accepted, Mason, and that was supposed to be known all around the world. And the three letter is ancient, free, Mason. No, it's free and accepted, Mason. Anyway, that's the three letter or something like that. I may be mixing up. But anyway, that's only known in Illinois. So, but anyway, I'm thinking it has something to do with God, you know, the compass, the square, the G on it, and I see the symbol. You see the emblems on the car. You see some people probably wearing it at church, maybe at a church, a pastor, maybe wearing the ring. You see it on the ring. So look out for this. It's not of God. It's an occult, a demonic occult. So I want to tell you leaders to repent of it, to come out of it, because it's not of God. And because I know I was in it. The more and more I talk about learning knowledge in your quest for knowledge, you're traveling to the East, and the more that you learn in your quest for knowledge and swearing before an occultic Bible, which is not of God, the Mason Bible, swearing at you when you pledge allegiance to the Bible and got blindfolded and talking about riding a goat and going through initiation and all this stuff and having your throat cut, your eyes plucked out, and your heart taken out for revealing any secrets of the organization and so on. You know, you're talking about, you know, death and all this stuff and everything. Now, what would God have you to do something like that? Now, you should know there's not a God, that's the devil. Do they? Romans 12:1 said that you present, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holding this up of the Lord, to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. He didn't say the devil require a physical sacrifice, you know, killing somebody, you hurting yourself, cutting yourself and all this stuff, you know, sacrificing a baby, or taking somebody else's life and so on as a sacrifice to him. Now, you know that's not God. And with these occults having you to do that stuff. And then now you come into the things of God, even though you repented of your sin, but you did not denounce. And you're wondering why some of these things are happening in your life and so on, because these are the results of, because you didn't have not yet denounced these things, because these residues are still there that you yet need to denounce. And I'm speaking to those of you that are still involved in this. There's a lot of pastors down the South. When I used to go down South in Mississippi to minister, or when I remember going to North Carolina as well in ministering, you know, with my overseer and some of the other apostles in the network, I've came across some pastors that would come to the revivals that we were doing that were Masons, had on the rings, Masons. You have pastors that are Masons. You have women, sisters that are Masons. They are Eastern Star, Ruth, and all these different things. You need to repent and come out of that. I'm just going as the Holy Spirit is leading me. And still active in that today. You may have some that may not be active. You have some that may have not been going to their meetings, paying their dues, and some not have been, they call them inactive, not being active. But yet you're still involved. You need to denounce that thing and run away from it, because it's not of God. It's a one-way trip to hell. Can you to hell? You think that you're going to enter into the kingdom of God and being tied up in a cult out of ignorance. The word of God said, be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so I wanted to share this with you. These are some things that may be in operation in your life, some residue. I'm not saying to those of you that may not be involved in a cult or anything like that, but some generational things that may be happening in your life. And these are some signs, some things to look for that need to be broken. And I'm going to touch out of some things out of Apostle Eckhart's book where he talks on identifying and breaking curses. And it says that demons operate through curses and will continue to do so in the life of a believer, even though we have been redeemed from the curse. One of the best books available today on this subject of curses, of blessings or curses, is by Derek Prince. And I know many of you may be familiar with Derek Prince, a book, you know, concerning that area of deliverance and so on and everything. And he listed 7 common indications of curses. Number 1 is chronic financial problems. Number 2 is chronic sicknesses and disease. Number 3, female problems. Number 4, accident prone. Number 5, marital problems. Number 6, premature deaths. Number 7, mental illnesses. And also, Apostle Eckhart said this, he had included 2 more indications in his time of the ministry of deliverance, is mistreatment and abuse. You may have experienced a spirit of mistreatment and abuse in operation in your life, where it seems like you encounter, you know, not, you know, relationship or people or whatever. Sometimes, you know, you're being mistreated or go through some kind of abuse, whether it's mental, physical, sexual abuse, or rejection. You may experience where there's no favor, no mercy, you know, a victim of cruelty and violence. And you know, number 8 and number 9 is this. You may be a person that you heard me say earlier, wandering, vagabond, no place to rest or live, constantly moving from house to house, city to city, job to job, relationship to relationship. That's a vagabond spirit which needs to be broken. You have people in the church that have a vagabond spirit, going from church to church in the house of God. No stability, no anything, just running. You know, you need to be stable. You need to stay in one place and allow the Lord to break that off of you. And, you know, then, like I say, what do you frame your words with? Sometimes you can make statements such as this is, I seem to take one step forward and two steps backwards. Well, nothing ever seems to work out for me. I never can seem to get ahead. I knew something bad would happen. If it were not for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. This always happened to me. It's happened to me, happened to my parents, and now it's happening to me. Let's look in depth, you know, in depth at these indications or symptoms of curses. You know, what you see is that the first symptom is chronic financial problems, especially if there's a history of debt, bankruptcies, poverty, and lack in the family. Financial setbacks, which is a setback means to slow the progress up or to hinder, to delay. No matter what a person does, they cannot seem to get ahead financially. Unable to keep a job, you know, layoffs, inability to find work, especially when there is no logical explanation. There are many people who are struggling financially because of curses. They never can seem to escape unexpected bills, accidents causing additional bills, loss of money, car breakdowns, mechanical malfunction, losing money, purses, wallets, loss to theft, high interest rates. Just when they seem to get ahead financially, something happened to set them back. This can even be true if a person earns a lot of money. Again, for some people, there is no logical explanation why they should be further ahead financially. Mishandling of money, history of welfare in the family, business failures. Proverbs 10:15 says, like, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. The spirit of destruction works through this curse to destroy a person financially. Spirits of poverty, lack, and debt operate through this curse. It was a pastor that had a testimony, and he said how he had constant car problems, and even though he had a good car, there was always something wrong. Every time he would bring his car in for repairs, the estimate became more than he could afford. This was occurring even though he was a faithful giver. He prayed and asked the Lord why a faithful giver was having so many problems with his car. And the Lord revealed to him that it was a curse and showed him that his family, father, and grandfather had always struggled financially and had car problems. He then prayed and broke the curse. When he brought his car back for repairs, they discovered a small part which was causing all the other problems that had been estimated to cost thousands to repair. The amazing thing was that the cost to replace the small part that broke was less than a dollar. All of this was discovered after he broke the curse. You hear that? Well, saints of God, I know my time is up. It's the Lord's will. I may get back into this. The next broadcast, I'm going to be able to, the few minutes that I have for the lines to be open, but what I want to do is, if those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, just repeat after me, or you may be a backslider, just repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of dark of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just pray that prayer, you are saved. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I would encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, spirit-filled church that believes in the whole role of God, believe in signs and wonders and miracles. Go and get in a place where you can grow and be part of that house, be connected with somebody that's more seasoned in the word of you, that is not a nozzle. Novice, learn, soak up, be active in the house of God, and run with the Lord. Amen. Well, bless God. Well, the lines, I believe, are open. If anyone need prayer or have any comments, anything you want to say or share, please feel free to do so. Amen. God bless you. You're live. You are on the air. Where are you calling from? God bless you. Praise the Lord. If there's someone trying to say something, kind of breaking up. God bless you. Well, The lines are open. Anyone that need prayer or have any comments or any words of encouragement?
Hello, this is Nancy.
God bless you, Nancy. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Chicago.
Or praise the Lord. Calling from
South suburbs of Chicago. I'm calling for prayer for my. God bless you too. Thank you, Apostle. I'm just calling for prayer for my 7-year-old Joshua.
Okay. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I agree with my sister. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I agree with the woman of God. Concerning her son, Lord, we lift them up before you. Saints of God, I just want you to begin to pray in the spirit, begin to agree with me, with the woman of God, because there's power in agreement, according to Matthew 18 and 19. He said, with any two come together, touching anything here on earth, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. And Father, we agree with our sister in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift our son, Joshua, up before you, God. Lord, a young, a mighty man of God in the name of Jesus, a young man of promise that the Lord is raising up. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your hand being upon his life. Lord, we come against any demonic attack against, Lord, this young man in the name of Jesus, her son. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise. Lord, we come against fear, where the enemy tried to bring fear, Lord, in his life, God, because of even the prophetic call, the prophetic mantle, and upon his life. I even see what the Lord is revealing to me and showing me that God speaks to him and show him things in his dream, in his sleep, and even at the same time, because of him being marked by God and the hand of God being upon his life, the enemy comes and attack him as well and try to cause him to have nightmares and different things to bring fear. A lot of times when the enemy does that, it's because of the prophetic call upon his life, and he wants to have him in fear. And so that's a tactic of the enemy. And so I just come against that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that he shall be a mighty man of God, that you shall use him to lead, Lord, his generation unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that he's very creative, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the spirit of excellence, Lord, resting upon him as it rested upon Daniel, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, upon it rest upon Joshua. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord, that he shall be one to lead the people into the place of promise. In the name of Jesus, you shall use him to spearhead his generation and spearhead others, God, into the move of you, Father, that he shall not be ashamed, that he shall not be afraid of you, but he shall move forward in boldness in the name of Jesus and declare your word. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your blood covering him and protecting him and keeping him. I come against the enemy that had tried to damage him, damage his mind, in the name of Jesus, and try to destroy him. And Father, I speak peace over his life, and speak peace over him, that his purpose and his destiny shall be fulfilled. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for his mother, Lord, who is a God-fearing woman of God, Lord, that is nurturing the seed, nurturing him, watering him with the word of God, and watering him with prayer, and that she shall see your word come to pass concerning him, concerning his life, God, in the name of Jesus. No weapon that is formed against him shall not prosper, and it shall not stand. I come against every demonic attack against his life. In Jesus, I speak favor over him and over his life, and he shall excel above his peers. He shall excel in reading and in writing in the name of Jesus. He shall excel in education. He shall excel in the name of Jesus. I speak that upon his life in the name of Jesus. Honors. In the name of Jesus, he shall be ahead of his class, ahead of his time, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord, and bless the woman of God for her faithfulness, her diligence, in the name of, in the kingdom of God. And Lord, again, I thank you for the call of God upon her life, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for her purpose and her destiny being filled, Lord. I thank you for restoration, Lord, even in her life, and what you have promised her, Lord, in favor, resting upon her life, God. And Lord, I come against every hindering spirit, Lord, that would try to block a prosperity, Lord, that would try to block what you have promised her, Lord, and that she would continue to stand and continue to prophesy and declare and decree the word of God, what the Lord have said concerning her, Lord, that she shall see it come to pass. And woman of God, God said, declare and prophesy and speak his word, for his word is nigh thee in thy lip, for I've caused a great prophetic mantle to rest upon you, I said the Lord, and I even hear the Lord saying, I'll prophesy my word and watch and see it come to pass. I said the Lord, be not afraid, for I even deal with you, I even give you things concerning other people. And the Lord said, be not afraid to speak my word, be not be afraid to speak and to prophesy that which I've given you. For God said, I'm developing you and I'm raising you up in this end time, and even in this hour, I'm even developing even the ministry of of the intercessor upon your life in the name of Jesus, and I'm birthing forth that which I've placed on the inside of you, which is purpose and destiny, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go and be blessed, woman of God. And well, people of God, my time is just about up. I just want to make a quick announcement. We are being part of a conference this Saturday, my wife and myself, December the 6th, which is this Saturday at 3 p.m. It's called A Sight of God's Glory, which is being spearheaded by Prophet Frieda Evans and other hosts. My wife and I, myself, are going to be speaking, Apostle Crystal Lawrence, Apostle Mark, and Pastor Venus Rouse are going to be ministering as well. They're from Milwaukee. It's going to be here in Chicago at the House of Rhema. That's at 601 West 120th Street in Chicago, Illinois. If you need more information, just give me a call. Area code 773-888-3356. God bless you. Again, that's this Saturday, December the 6th at 3 p.m. Amen. God bless you. And again, I want to speak and declare over your life the blessings. Amen. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance and shine his face upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lead you. Even though the enemy may come against you one way, he shall flee before you seven ways, and that the favor of the Lord surround you as like a shield. Love you, and God bless.
Your presence is